Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. If you missed any past episodes of Live by Every Word, you can go back and find those at thetrumpet.com or at kpcg.fm. Anywhere that you like to get your podcasts, you can probably find Live by Every Word there. And that goes for all of the programs here on Trumpet Radio as well. Well, recently I was on a trip and I spent some time in Seattle, which is a really interesting city in a lot of ways. Of course, there's a major problem there with homeless and some other problems as well. But then there's also some neat things to see. Like a lot of cities in the world, I suppose, there are the positives, but there are the negatives. But one thing there is a lot of people, just a lot of people everywhere, all ages, all races, just so many different people there all together in that major city, and many different beliefs, many different thoughts when it comes to God and religion. But the good news is, when considering all of those people, that if you understand your Bible and you understand God's plan for salvation, most people will accept God's plan of salvation and eagerly follow God's laws once their minds are open to His truth. Of course, most people in this world do not have their minds open to God's truth yet. But when their minds are open, most people will accept God's plan of salvation. And most will eagerly submit to His government and guidance and direction. But there are some that will not obey God. Why? Why would that be the case? Well, the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, please sign up for that if you have not. It says this. It says, these people, those that very few that will not obey God, it says they will fail because they stubbornly insist on their own way, the way of death. And you can look at Proverbs 14 and verse 12. They persist, it says, in living rebellious, sinful lives, making themselves and those around them miserable. And Proverbs 14 verse 12, as we just referenced there, shows that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it does end in death. There are many ways that seem right, but they end in death. Even in that homeless population there in Seattle or other cities, many people are addicted to drugs, and that's one of the reasons that they're in the situation they're in. Now, at some point, that seemed right to them. That seemed like a thing that they should do because it made them feel good for a moment, I guess. But what's the end result? Well, it's death, ultimately, and, of course, a miserable life up until that point. There's a way that seems right to man. It could be a lot of things. It seems right. It seems good. It seems appealing. But it does end in the way of death. And an attitude that insists on its own way and doesn't relent is just very difficult to work with. Maybe you've had a situation like that, where you've tried to work with somebody on a particular project or something, and they just don't want to listen. They know how to do it, and they're not going to listen to anybody else's thought on it. Well, that's a very hard person to work with. Sometimes we can all be that way. And when God's trying to work with us, if we have an attitude where we just won't listen to Him, you know, what can God do? He can try to get us to see things from a different perspective, from His perspective, but there are some that just refuse to see it that way. Notice Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these passages together. And if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We could you could write them down maybe and look the passages up later. But it's important that we see what God's Word says on this topic. Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course notes that God will forgive any sin that is repented of, even if through weakness, temptation, or habit the sin is repeated. As long as a person's intention, attitude, and desire is to obey God, he will repent, and God will forgive him. Jesus said we ought to forgive 70 times 7. You can read about that in Matthew 18, meaning that we should always be willing to forgive a repentant person. So what is a willful or an unforgivable sin? That's the question. You know, we all sin. The Bible's clear on that. We're all sinners, though, of course, we're trying to repent and change and grow. But there is a situation where a sin becomes unforgivable. And if a person has been given spiritual understanding of God's way and has experienced the blessings of that way, but decides he no longer wants it, changes his attitude, deliberately chooses a life of rebellion, despising God's laws, then his sin is unforgivable because he will not repent of it. God will not give eternal life to anyone who insists on living Satan's way. God can't forgive somebody who won't repent. It's that simple. And so again, this is talking about a person who has been called, repented of sin, has had his mind open to God's truth, and then says, "No thanks. I'm going to go live the way of sin. I prefer to do whatever I want, and I don't want to obey God." And if a person is set in that type of an attitude, then there's no room for forgiveness because they can't repent. They won't repent. They refuse to. And God can't forgive somebody that won't repent. And that's an attitude that we'd never want to get into. The Herbert W. Armstrong Correspondence Course says, "Perhaps through bitterness, refusal to forgive others, or neglect of prayer and Bible study, they stopped allowing God to build his character in them." And that gives us some really great points to consider. If we get into an attitude of bitterness, or we don't want to forgive others for their mistakes, or we neglect prayer and Bible study, then we're turning away from God. We're not allowing God's Spirit to flow in us to help us to grow and to develop God's character. Then what can God do with a person like that? The Correspondence Course continues, "God will never quit helping anyone." That's a great point. God's never going to stop helping somebody if they want help, but they have to want it. It says, "But these people, those who will not enter into God's salvation, these people quit on God." They quit. They show by their actions that they don't really want eternal life in God's family. And so God, in love, will not give it to them. There's just a certain bitterness in that attitude. And they won't repent. They won't change. Even after the 100 years of the last great day, and that's, of course, typified by God's annual holy day plan, the last great day being that last festival right after the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you need to know more about that, there's a great book at thetrumpet.com, "Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days Which?" It goes through those holy days and gives you a great summation of what they point to. And please get that. It's at thetrumpet.com, and it's free. But even after these 100 years of the last great day, and that's ahead of us in the future a little bit, Isaiah 65 and verse 20 shows that those few who quit on God will not be given eternal life, because it says the sinner, being 100 years old, will be accursed. And so that's the person that just refuses to obey God. They've had their mind open. They know the right way. They know that it brings the blessings. And they just turn their back on it, and they don't want any part of it. The God doesn't give them part in his family if they don't want part in his family. And see, of course, every person, you, me, everyone, we're free moral agents. We have to make a choice. Do we want to be part of it? Do we want to be part of God's plan or not? And those who just don't and refuse, well, there's no room for repentance there. But again, most of the world isn't called yet. John 6 and verse 44 is clear that God the Father has to do the calling. But all people will be called in due order. The Correspondence Course says these people, these that will not obey God, and they refuse when their minds, even when their minds are open, it says they must not be allowed to make themselves and others unhappy any longer. What a very important point. We can think about ourselves today. Do we make ourselves and others around us unhappy? You know, if we're in a habit of doing that, if that's our pattern of fruits, that we make ourselves unhappy, that we make others unhappy, then we're heading in the wrong direction. And we have to take that seriously, and we have to take a look at ourselves and say, okay, what's my attitude here? You know, God's offering us eternal life in his family. And if we know that, and yet we still are just unhappy with everything, and we make others unhappy, then we certainly have to change our thinking and change our attitude, because there's a wrong attitude there. And so, I mean, everybody has their moments, I suppose, where you know, we have some unhappiness, but it can't be a continual pattern. It can't be our habitual way of living. And if it is, then certainly we have to change that. The Course says, this is the third resurrection. It will occur after all who can be saved are saved. All of the wicked who have knowingly rejected God's way and died in their sins will be raised to physical life. Their attitudes will be evident. No one will ever claim these people were unjustly condemned, because none of them will repent. They will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive their penalty, extinction in the lake of fire. This will be their second death, and they will never again be resurrected. See, the false idea of a ever-burning hell where people just sort of sit there and are tormented, That's a wrong idea. It's false. It's not biblical. There are some who will reject God's way and refuse God's way of life, and they will be put out of their misery. They will be in the third resurrection, which is a resurrection, as it says, to physical life, and then they're cast into the lake of fire, where they burn up. What would happen to a human being and thrown into a fire? Well, they burn up. It happens. People die in house fires and forest fires and other things. They'll burn up, and that'll be the end. And it'll be the end of the unhappiness that they have in themselves and that they project to others. It'll be the end of the bitterness. God doesn't want that to be anybody's end result, but some people choose it. It's a choice. People choose. We all choose whether we're going to happily embrace God's plan or we're going to reject it. And for those who reject it, once their minds are opened, you know, and they still reject God's truth, then they'll not repent. And there's nothing God could do. If God gave them eternal life, they'd be eternally miserable and angry and bitter and just be constantly in that state of mind. And God knows that's a horrible state of mind to be in. And so he's going to put an end to that misery. But again, those people that find themselves in that position, it's because of their attitude, and they'll have chosen that path. So much of the focus here is on attitude. Our attitude is so important. It's vitally important. And it's more important than any natural ability or lack of ability. You know, humanly, sometimes it's easy to look at talent and say, well, this person's talented more than this other person. Now, of course, we do want to make the most of whatever God has given us. There's the parable of the pounds and the talents, of course. So we do want to make the most of what we've been given, and that's nothing to look down on. But the most important thing here is attitude. It's the attitude that a person has. I mean, we've all probably run across people that had a lot of natural gifts but had a bad attitude, and others who maybe didn't have as many natural gifts but had a great attitude. I mean, who would you rather work with or be around? The good attitude, because you can work with that. And if we have a good attitude, people can work with us. That's a positive thing. The attitude is the most important thing there. And there's so much emphasis put on our attitude, so we have to think about that. Notice Matthew 3 and verse 11. Matthew 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist speaking here. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, speaking of Christ, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Correspondence Course says, baptism means immersion, and the baptism with fire will be an immersion in fire. Just as the world before Noah was baptized, submerged in water, so the end time world will be baptized with fire when God's master plan is complete. The earth, befouled by sin, will be cleansed of all defilement in the baptism of fire. And the few unrepentant will meet their judge in the third resurrection. Their temporary human life will be terminated. The lake of fire will consume them, body and soul, their wicked works, and ultimately the entire surface of the earth. Only those who received spiritual life will escape this global destruction, in which all that is fleshly or corruptible will perish. All that will remain of the wicked and their world will be ashes under the feet of the spirit-born children of God. That's what's going to happen according to the Bible. There is going to be an end to this earth, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But for all of those who refuse to obey God, their end, their final part of life, will be there at that third resurrection, and then they'll be burned up. And it's because of the attitude which they had, that unrepentant attitude, where they didn't want to obey God. They knew his truth, and they refused it. They just refused. And because of that, they were miserable and unhappy, and they made those around them also miserable and unhappy. That's the way Satan the devil is. Now, Satan's spirit. And so he has eternal life, but it's in misery. It's in misery, and he'll be locked away. He won't be able to influence anymore. He'll be shut up permanently. And God doesn't want any more Satan the devils. He doesn't want to give eternal life to people with attitudes that are negative, and where that attitude would continue to be negative and would harm other people. Everything comes back to the attitude here in which people have and that we have. Can God work with us? Can God work with us? Or do we have an unworkable attitude? Well, anything that's unworkable or that refuses to go God's direction will be burned up in the lake of fire, which will consume the entire earth. What happens after that? God's plan continues on. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. Notice this in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And if any of this sounds different or you haven't heard this before, it's right out of the Bible. It's right out of the Bible, but yet most do not talk about this. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." All the evil, all the sin, the few that refuse to obey God, it'll be gone. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No sorrow, no crying, no more pain, no more death. But this great new eternal future. The correspondence course says, "After the lake of fire, a new heaven and a new earth will appear. The new earth will become the headquarters for all future creative projects of the God family. And the spiritual capital will be New Jerusalem." New Jerusalem, that massive, massive city that comes down from heaven and is on the new earth. Revelation 22 and verse 14 says this, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And so if we want to be there, and we all do, and we want to be blessed in that way, we have to do his commandments. Here it is, Revelation 22, right there at the end of the Bible. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Some people would talk about commandments being done away with. Really? Well, here it says that those that do his commandments are blessed. They're blessed. And those who have an attitude of refusing to keep God's commandments, they won't be there. They won't be there in that New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 shows the dimensions of New Jerusalem. It's astounding. The New Jerusalem will be nearly 1,500 miles, that's 2,400 kilometers, in each direction. Can you imagine a city of that size? Well, I mean, it's hard to fathom. It will cover an area equal to the modern nations of Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Cyprus, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia combined. That's a large city. It's a massive city. You can get out a map and you can look at that. You can look at Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Cyprus, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia combined. That's a massive city. There's going to be lots of room for lots of members of the God family. God's creative purpose will then flow out into the universe. I mean, God has a great plans, plural, in store, and he doesn't reveal all of it, but what he does reveal in the Bible takes us to this point. There will be expansion, there will be growth, there will be development out into the universe. Why is that universe there? Well, God has a plan for it, but before he really gets going on that plan, anyone that has an attitude of negativity that does not want to be part of it, well, they won't be part of it. And be put out of their misery so that that plan can move forward and that those blessings and that joy and that excitement can go out into the universe. And there can't be negativity out there. There can't be negativity in the new heavens and the new earth and a new Jerusalem. And there won't be. Romans 8, verses 19 through 22, notice this. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." We just saw there in Revelation 21 that there's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow. There's not going to be any more death. All those things are going to be passed away. But today, Romans 8 points out that, look, the creation is groaning and travailing in pain. It's because it's destroyed. Look, it's destroyed up there. You can see the pictures that come back from the Hubble telescope and other pictures that we have. It's just decayed. It's destroyed. There's nothing out there. People can't live out there. There can be no life out there because it's just in ruin. But it's going to be beautified. And so we have a insight there into God's plan. When is it going to happen? Well, when the sons of God come about, when God's family expands, when man is born into the very family of God. That's the incredible human potential. And we have a book on that by that title, The Incredible Human Potential. That's free at thetrumpet.com, written by Herbert W. Armstrong. You need to get that book if you haven't read it. And if you have read it, it's a book to go over again and again. Because we have to keep in mind the incredible human potential that God has for mankind. And God is not going to give anyone that incredible potential. He's not going to give them that ultimate fulfillment of it and have them be born into his family if they don't want to be part of it. If they're negative about it, they're not going to be part of it. But most people will want to be part of it. That's the great thing. But we have to always be careful about our attitude. Our attitude is so important towards God and what God is doing and how God is working in our lives. But notice this exciting future. The correspondence course says, you don't need to bring peace to an empty planet or galaxy, do you? You need to bring peace to where there are inhabitants, maybe angels, maybe men. If there is nothing out there but a wilderness, and it's going to remain that way, why would you need to increase the government and peace forever and ever? God has a purpose for every inch of his creation. God didn't make anything in vain. He didn't make you in vain. He has a plan for you and for me, if we'll accept it. It says, God the Father and Jesus Christ are reproducing themselves, enlarging their God family. The Father is begetting real sons, literal members of the God family. That's the purpose of human life. That's the purpose for this earth. And that very well could be the purpose for the entire universe. It's possible that God's family will expand forever. So again, we don't know all the specific details, but there's very good indication that God's government will grow and expand. He says that. It will grow and expand, and it will develop forever and ever, continually improving and growing and developing. And to be there and to be part of that means that we have to be born sons of God, and we have to be very positive and excited about the plans God has for us. If there is negativity towards that plan, then certainly we do have to repent of that and change. And those who refuse to repent cannot be forgiven, and their attitude will be burned up. But most people will accept the wonderful plan that God has for them and embrace it and love it and be excited about going out and beautifying this universe. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.